He's everything to me. Amen. Don't forget the dinner on the grounds next week. And so be faithful. Invite somebody out. You know what? I've read an article this morning that most Christians sitting in church don't even know what, this does not have to do with the message. Most Christians sitting in church, they do not know what the Great Commission is. That's a shame. The Great Commission is found 5 times in your Bible. And most Christians couldn't even tell you what it is. And it was a command that Jesus gave. How many of y'all know what the Great Commission is? The Great Commission is found in your Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. All the new Bibles, they try to change it by preaching and teaching. They try to change that to just make disciples, but you got to preach and teach and then disciple. But it's important, the Great Commission that God's given to the church, we are not fulfilling it. We're not doing the job that we ought to be doing, fulfilling that Great Commission. But we're not preaching about that this morning. I'm going to preach in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It says, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge. We know if you're saved, you're a saint of God, and you got saved by the grace of God, you know what an idol is you're worshiping, or putting up an idol. Buddha is an idol. I talked to you about Wednesday night that the Pope went into the Buddhist temple over in Thailand and sat before the Buddhist idol, which is a big golden thing of Buddha, and told him, said, we serve the same God, and said, we can get together. And the reason why the Catholic Church has no problem with idols is because they have all kinds of idols. They worship Mary, and they say, oh, we don't worship Mary. Oh, yeah. They'll tell you, talk to Mary first before you talk to Jesus. And they'll tell you all that stuff. And that's an idol. It's an idol. And it's a false idol. And I remember the guy, Jim Delsmith, that led me to the Lord. He said his mama told his brother that Jim's idol was his motorcycle. So anything you put before God can be an idol. Anything you put before God in your life can be an idol. And you're worshiping. The Bible says you have knowledge. You're not supposed to do that. As a child of God, you're not supposed to put nothing before God in your life. Nothing. It ought to be Jesus first. That Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whatever you have need of, most of us all have needs. Whatever you have need of, God said, I can meet that need. I can meet that need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, though. Put him first. But and the Bible tells you that in the Exodus chapter 20, tells you that thou shalt not make on thee any graven images and bow down to them and worship them. Here's Christmas time, and I know a lot of times, we have a Christmas tree in the house. We don't bow down and worship the thing. We don't, do all that stuff. And I know that's in Jeremiah. We don't bow down and worship that tree and nothing else. But a lot of people, they think, they worship Santa Claus and all kinds of other stuff, tell kids a lie. And here we're just coming from Thanksgiving. We tell them the truth about Thanksgiving. Then we tell them a lie about Christmas. That doesn't make no sense. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And it seems like the older I get, when you're young, teenager, they know everything. A teenager knows everything. You just ask them. They know everything. But as I get older, I realize how little I do know. As you get older, you get supposed to get wiser. And Brother Mike was teaching in Sunday school about being wise, being a wise man. But as the older I get, the more I realize, really, I don't know a lot about anything. And we just got to trust God in our lives. If you don't trust the Lord, you make a mess out of your life. You start trusting in yourself. You know what? Yourself can become an idol. You can be your own idol. You worship yourself. Because why? If you're saved, you belong to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you're supposed to present yourself to God. If you don't, then you're worshiping something else. You're putting something else before God. And look at this. Look on down. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. If any man love God, the same is known of him. You know what the key, the thing is? Love God first. If you love God, the Bible says the same is known of you. If you love the Lord, you put the Lord first in your life, God always, he can always give you knowledge. But the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. But if you don't have a love for God, and that's what I find in Christians' lives, they don't have a love for God. Like they, you know, when they got saved, they had a love for God. And then all of a sudden the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things come in and starts choking the word in you. And your love for God is kind of diminishes. And the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Put him first. And it says, putting the Lord first and loving him first. When was the last time you told the Lord you love him? And you know what the problem is? When you get down and you say, Lord, I love you, the Lord will say, really? You really love me? The Holy Ghost of God is inside you. If you're saved, he'll start speaking to you. He'll start speaking to your heart saying, if you really love me, keep my words. If you really love me, you'll keep my commands. If you really love Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, of the eating of those things which are offered on the sacrifice on the idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, in the world. And there is none other God but one. Now, can you all agree to that? So there's only one God, right? Amen. But he comes in three persons. Amen. God the Father is the soul. God the Son is the flesh. God the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says God's put his Spirit inside you. And to show you, to guide you. And God, you got all three in one. There's one God, one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. So as concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice on idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. And there is none other God but one. Though there be that are called gods with a little g in your Bible, should be a little g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many. And Lord's many. You know, we're going out to a city and where the world makes, in this city, they makes these people gods. That's out in Los, notice it's Los Angeles. Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles. And this world makes those people in Hollywood idols and gods. We had a girl come to church here years ago. She told me, she said, Lord's called me to go be a witness to all the movie stars. I started laughing. I said, well, fine, man, that's good. Go ahead and do it. But she never did it. She, you know, she just wanted to be somebody. She wanted to rub shoulders with, you know, Beyonce and all the others. She wanted to rub shoulders with them and wanted to be somebody. But there's gods out in the world. There's a lot of gods. You know, the Bible tells you, and take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians 4. No, 2 Corinthians 4. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, be hid to them that are lost. Brother Mike has been teaching on the gospel, preaching the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. It says, if the gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. When's the last time? You know what would be a great Christmas present to give to God? Is try to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Amen. That'd be a great gift. I say, Lord, I don't deserve any gifts, but I'll tell you what, I'd like to give you a gift. I'd like to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Why don't you pray that the Lord give you be able to give? You know, we always want to give our kids money, or they want to get money to give mom and daddy something. What about giving God the Father something? Yeah. And God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. It says, in whom the gods of this world, the God of this world, it says, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine in out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God of this world is the devil. We know that. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded people's minds So right today, coming up at Christmas time, people will not give Jesus Christ any glory. They'll talk about Santa Claus. And, you know, if you read your Bible, you'll find they get the scripture when it comes to Santa Claus, is what he wears, and, you know, red, being a red outfit. And the Bible talks about Jesus Christ having a vesture dipped in blood. He's called the Ancient of Days. And, I can get into all that. I ain't going to preach on that, but I can get into all that. But they get all that thing mixed up, but they won't give Jesus Christ any praise. And Isaiah says, unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is, child is born, excuse me. And unto us a son is given. And it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. But looking back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. You wouldn't be nothing, I wouldn't be nothing without Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, without his comfort, without his spirit, and without his guidance, we wouldn't be nothing, man. Nothing. And we're still less than nothing, but we wouldn't be here, that's for sure. We deserve to be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. But the Bible says this. It says, howbeit there is not in every man this knowledge or that knowledge. There's not in everybody that knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. There's not everybody that knows that Jesus Christ is there, is inside them by the Holy Ghost. Not everybody knows that there's a God in heaven that allowed his son to go to an old rugged cross and die for them, pay their sin debt, and for them personally. I mean, a lot of people don't have that knowledge. I didn't understand it before I was saved. I was afraid to ask. I was getting a new phone the other day on the phone with this lady, and I started giving my testimony to it. I got weeping and crying. And, man, she's on the phone, you know, Verizon. I'm telling her how to get saved. And I'm weeping and crying, telling her, man, God's been good. She goes, and she got all choked up. And she started, and they were listening in. She said, this phone call is recorded. And they were listening. I thought it would be a bunch of people that would be able to hear that. Amen. They were recording it. And I gave my testimony to her. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's what you got. The greatest thing you got in your life to be able to use for God's glory is your testimony. If you blow your testimony, man, God have mercy. Get it back. Get it right. Get the thing straightened out. And it says, howbeit, there be that in every man that knowledge that some with conscience of idols unto this hour eateth as a thing offered unto idols, unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth it not to God. For neither if we eat or are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worst. Take heed lest any man, or any means, this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. He's talking about people sitting down at meat. He's talking about people coming in and sitting down. If like missionary go to a foreign country, and they go to a foreign country and they sit down and say, and they said, this food here was dedicated to Buddha. The missionary and the Christians are told not to eat it. If it's offered to an idol, if it's offered to something else, if it's dedicated to that, not to eat it. He said, whether you eat it or whether you don't, it doesn't make any difference. But to the conscience of a person watching you, of those that you're trying to talk to, it means a lot. It means a lot. When you sit down and you're, you know, going along with the world and act like the world and talking like the world, and you're sitting there and they're watching you, and you say, oh, they're not watching me. I'm doing whatever I want to do, and I live to myself and I die to myself. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're saved, you don't live to yourself and you don't die to yourself. People are watching you. And they're looking at you, see how you act and what you do. Here it comes up Christmas time, and like I said, there are going to be big parties going on, office parties, all that junk. As a Christian, have no business being there. They have no business going around drinking, carrying on. They have no business. Why? The world's watching you. They're looking at you. They want to see if what you got is real. And if you show them what you got is real, they're going to want it too. They're going to want it. Why? This world has no hope. It says, but meat commendeth it us not to God, verse 8, for neither if we eat, or whether we the better, or as if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed lest any man, this liberty of yours, become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Those that are weak, other Christians even, that are weak. You know, the Bible tells us that you which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness. As a Christian, you're supposed to be helping other Christians. You're supposed to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You're supposed to be lifting people up, not tearing them down. Amen? This ain't the message yet, but we'll get to it. For if any man see that that thee which has knowledge sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not that conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Though through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. And when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. If you wound the conscience of a weak or brother or sister, you're sinning against Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, if meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. The Bible talks about, Jesus said, if you better not offend one of these little ones, he said, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, be cast in the sea. Take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 14 now. Look in Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubt from disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or fall. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doeth not regard it. Saying, talking about, you know, people, you know, putting certain days ahead of other days. And like sometimes, you know, you want to take off work on your birthday and you regard that day as a good day and all that. And people don't recognize you, get all depressed and all discouraged that nobody recognized your birthday because they don't esteem it that big. But to you it does, or whatever day it might be. He that eateth and eateth to the Lord, he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live on the Lord. Whether we die on the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the most scariest thing to think about. We're not going to go to hell. If you're saved, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And first time when Jesus Christ resurrected, he went and Thomas said, I won't believe lest I see. I ain't going to believe that Jesus Christ arose. And then the Bible says they were in the upper room on the second week, and Thomas was there, and Jesus walked in the room and walked right up to him and said, look, Thomas, you doubted me? And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord's going to look you in the eyes, me in the eyes. I'm not worried, you know, I'm more worried about me than I am about you. I worry about me. I want to stand before God and be well-pleasing to him. And that's what every Christian ought to be. Amen. You ought to be worried about yourself, standing before God. But as a preacher, I'm going to be standing before God for how I presented the gospel, what I preached, how I encouraged you, as a pastor of this church, I'm going to have to give account of those things. That's why it's important for me to preach the right thing and encourage the saints. And look at here. It says, whether we live on the Lord. Whether we die, verse 8, we die on the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ both died and arose and revived, that we might be Lord both of the dead and living. Why doest thou judge thy brother? Why doest thou set it in all thy brother? So we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. You ought to mark that verse in your Bible. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, talking about a stumbling block or occasion to fall, that's one thing we ought to be concerned, which Christians are not concerned anymore, about putting a stumbling block in front of other people. There's people that you can reach and I can reach. And I know I got my old man still in me. And you got the old man. The old man wants to do what the old man wants to do. And don't want nobody telling him how to do it. That's the old man. But the old man always gets me in trouble every time the old man takes over in my life. If the old man has control, the old man would be cursing God and sitting beside a fire of the unbelievers. That's the way Simon Peter was, sitting beside a fire with unbelievers cursing Jesus Christ. And you got to make up your mind, am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? Am I going to live for God or am I not going to live for God? And Jesus said this in Revelation. He said, I'd rather for you be cold or hot than lukewarm because I spew out of my mouth. And one thing that bothers you and bothers me is to see a hypocrite. Somebody that says one thing and lives another. That bothers us. You say, look at that. You know, look at that hypocrite. Look where they are. And we start tearing, tearing them down and tearing wherever they go to church. We start tearing down the Bible. We start tearing all kinds of stuff down. And that's what the world will do. The world will look at you. And I've told you this story before. I've been to places where I've started witnessing somebody, and I've been standing, I'm not kidding, I'd be in Wendy's or somewhere getting something to eat or talking to somebody, and I'll say, I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church. They said, does so-and-so go to your church? And I go, oh, God. And I go, well, yeah, they do. And I start praying. And they said, you know, they did this or they did that. And man, I started praying, oh God. I said, but you know, you can't worry. I always go, you can't worry about them. What about you? I mean, if they're living a hypocritical life, that's on them. But what about you? You know what? I've never been able to win anybody to the Lord that brought up somebody that went to the church that wasn't doing right. Never been able to win them. And you got to figure, am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? I mean, you got to look down and say, when I'm going to do what I want to do, can I ask God to bless this thing? You know, most of the time when people do what they want to do, then you never see them praying about it. You never say, God bless this, I'm about ready to do. They never do that. You can't hold a beer up and say, God bless this beer. Or God bless this cigarette to my body. Or God bless this joint. I'm about to smoke. Or bless these pills I'm about to take. Now, last night, I could bless that pill. Can you thank God for it? Can you thank God for it? You know how many times I've had people call me up and apologize to me? I just had this week, I had three people call me up and apologize for the way they lived. I had another one this morning call me up and thank me for living for God and said he was praying. Three of them texted me this morning, praying for me, praying for you, preacher, I love you. Man, that's a blessing. I'd rather get those than have somebody call me up and say, I'm sorry. And then, you know what I tell them? Get up, get going. Get up and get going. And they're just saying it to me, but can you imagine? Have you said it to him? He's the one to die for you. Can you thank the Lord for it? Is it bringing glory to God? Does it bring glory to God in your life? Or is it just the world? You know, the Bible tells you to love not the world, neither things in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. What happens is when you put a stumbling block before a brother or sister in Christ, you're hurting the cause of Christ. When you say, I'm going to live the way I want to live, and I only live, ain't nobody's business but mine, you're hurting the cause of Christ. Why? The Bible says you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. That goes not, I'm not, that's for everybody. It's me too. Are you living for the Lord? I said a minute ago, I said, most Christians don't know what the Great Commission is. That's why they don't witness. The Great Commission is five times in the Bible tells you to witness for Jesus Christ. And man, if your witness is tore apart, You get, rather than getting right, most Christians get worse. You know why a lot of people ain't in church this morning? I'll tell you why they ain't in church. They're backslidden. They're just so backslidden they don't want to hear about. They think, you know what the devil tells them? You walk through those doors, everybody's going to run you down. Everybody's going to jump on you and all that. That's what the devil tells people. But man, remember the prodigal son when he went home, the father was there waiting on him, and loving on him. Amen. You know, God making the right step at the right time, man, doing the right thing, it's not putting a stumbling block before somebody else. You got to be aware of it on a daily basis that, hey, man, what way I live, what I'm doing is going to cause either somebody to step up or somebody to fall down.
Yep. Amen.
Are you helping people up? As a witness, a weaker brother and sister in Christ, are you helping them up? We do everything we can around here to try to help people up. And if you know somebody accusing us of knocking somebody down, man, I want to know about it because I want to make sure we correct that. I want to help people up, don't you?
Yeah.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But man, if you're always down and always causing a stumbling block to everybody, man, it's time you get right.
Amen.
Stop playing the games. The Bible tells us, look at this. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. I remember Doc used to say, man, if you don't get right, then kick yourself around the block. Don't kick everybody else. Kick yourself. When I mess up, it's my fault. When a child, if you raise a child to tell them all the time, it ain't your fault, honey. It's their fault. If you raise a child, that's what the child's going to be like in a Christian life. He's going to blame everybody else for his problem. He's going to blame this one, that one, this one. It's the church. It's the preacher. It's the deacons. It's the trustees. It's this person caused me to fall. No, it ain't. It's you. You need to get right. You blame everybody else. The blame game, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Blame, man, Adam blamed his wife. His wife blamed the devil. My Lord, caused trouble for the whole human race. He said, well, you know, I probably would have done the same if I was there too. Look at verse 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Notice that, you know, that's why the Bible talks about witnessing for the Lord, telling people about Jesus Christ, having your testimony. It says, but we're compassed about with a great cloud of witness. People, I don't know if they're up in heaven looking over, watching us, like a lot of guys say. I don't know if they did, they'd probably be really discouraged in heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven would become a mourning place.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, but we're compassed about with a great cloud of witness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, got angels about us. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're compassed about with angels. I believe that. But we're compassed about with a great cloud of witness. Look what the Bible says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. That could be people watching us. That could be the cloud of witness. Could be people just watching us on a daily basis. You know, the Bible says the devil walked around Job, and man, he knew God had a hedge, but he couldn't go out past that hedge. You know, I pray for my children all the time and my grandchildren. I say, God, put a hedge about them. God, keep a hedge about them. Keep the devil off of them. God, watch over and protect them. Put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. You say, preacher, I don't know if I believe that works. I believe praying for your family, praying for others. I pray for everybody in this room. God, put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart towards you. And the great cloud of witnesses are watching. It says, let us lay aside some things. Lay aside. Lay aside whatever is going to cause you to fall, whatever is going to cause you to stumble or cause somebody else to stumble. You know, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. It's not expedient. He said, I can do whatever I want, but it's not expedient. I'm not going to lose my salvation, but it's not expedient. Why? Paul didn't want to hurt the church. Talking about believers. He didn't want to hurt them. Man, I'll tell you what, we ought to be concerned about believers. Other brothers and sisters. These little ones running around here. We've got these little kids running around here. You know what? They're looking up at us. They're following our example. I'll tell you what, we wouldn't want to hurt them. Jesus said, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. I mean, folks, when you got saved, God put you in a race. And the race is not against the other brother or sister in Christ. The race is against yourself. And you're going to have to answer for yourself. And I realized in the middle of the race, a lot of time I watched the marathons. Man, I've cried watching marathons, watching people trying to make it across the line, falling down, getting up, bloody, and man, getting up and just keep on going and get up and fall down again and get up. And I'm watching this thing. I watch what's that called, that tough man thing. They go through the water and then they run on land. What is that?
Triathlon.
I watched that thing, and I watched some people just staggering, coming across that. I thought, man, I sat there and cried. I stood up behind and looking at it on the TV going, come on, go on, go on. Yeah. You know what I want to do with this church? Come on, keep going. Don't quit.
Amen.
Finish. Finish.
Amen.
Finish your race. Quit playing around. A lot of Christians do this. They'll say, I'm just tired. They ain't got no character. I'm just tired. I'm just going to sit here for a little while. And they'll sit on the sideline for 20 years and watch everybody else go by. They'll just sit there for 20 years and waste their life when they could be running. What are you supposed to do in this race? You're supposed to pace yourself. I remember when Ro got saved, Ro texted me this morning. Said, I love you, preacher. Thank you for not quitting. Brother Tim texts me every morning. Another guy I just called the other day, he's been out. He's a preacher. He's been out. He texts me this morning and says, I'm praying for you, preacher. I love you. Lay aside the weights that so easily besets you. Anything that's going to cause you to quit running, quit going for God. Lay it aside. He says, looking onto Jesus. You know what our problem is? When Simon Peter got out of the boat, he said, Lord, let me come to you. He saw Jesus walking on water. I want to do that. Everybody mocked Peter. Oh, he started sinking. Yeah, but he got out of the boat. He said, I want to come to you, Lord. And the Lord said, come on. He got out, man. He said, woo, woohoo. Man, look at this. I'm walking on water. And all of a sudden he started looking around and go, oh, God. And he started sinking. And man, automatically, the Bible says Jesus reached out, boom, grabbed him by the hand. Took him back into the boat. The Bible says looking onto Jesus, you keep your eye on Jesus, you won't sink. You won't fall. You'll lay aside those weights. You start realizing what this world, man, the things this world don't mean nothing. Man, if you could read church history and you could read about Fox's Book of Martyrs and realize what Christians went through, be able to, and what the Apostle Paul, you read your Bible, find out what the Apostle Paul went through so you can have a Bible in your hands. Thank God he didn't quit.
Amen.
Thank God Jesus didn't quit.
Amen.
Thank God. You said, well, I just took off for a little while. I tell you what, we don't need you to take off. We need you to lay aside some things.
Yeah.
Get things out of your life. Get it right with God. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. You know, you never find a guy running in a race that's got 50 pounds. Maybe in the military, they trained you that way. You had to run, you know, full gear, 100 pounds. You had to run, and I remember being in Army. I remember running, and we was in formation. He go, hip, 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 hip. And then all of a sudden he goes, then he went through, talking about the run. I can't remember what the call was. But, man, we started running. And there was guys falling down, and, man, people were crying and all kinds of stuff, man, running. And I finally got tired of falling over people, man. I fell over a couple guys. I was running along behind them. I had all my gear on, have everything, a helmet, full helmet and everything. And I'm running along, and these guys are falling down and, man, falling, making way. So what I did, I went around them, and I went out of formation. Drill sergeant was in my face. Roman, you out of formation! I said, yeah, but drill sergeant, I'm tired of falling over people. And I got right behind him. I said, well, you go, I'm gone. I stayed right behind him. You know what you got to do? Keep your eyes on Jesus. People fall down. It wasn't my job to stop and help them to get up. That wasn't my job. Because at that time, that wasn't it. I had to stay right on, keep my eye on the drill sergeant. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. And let us run with patience. You don't find people that's running a marathon running with all kinds of weight on them. You don't find people swimming, unless you're in the mafia, with weights on them. You don't find that. as us looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted on the blood, striving against sin. He said, you haven't done that yet. You haven't fought that battle yet. Resisted on the blood. He said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. And for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Said, God's not your father. We'll lay aside the weights. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. The Bible tells you to lay aside some things. You ought to lay it aside. Why? God knows best. He knows what's best for you more than you know yourself. If you lay stuff aside, God will bless you and use you. You'll see fruit. And man, I'll tell you what, you'll be able to thank God for it. You'll be able to bless his holy name. You'll be able to give him glory. Man, you'll say, man, I'm with you, Lord. I'm going to run right with you. I'm going to stay right with you. I would call this thing, is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? The drill sergeant, when we're walking beside the drill sergeant, we're walking beside, he said, am I right or wrong? We say, you're right. Is God right or wrong? He's right. Does it please God more than man? Take your Bible, look in Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 1. What we're doing here this morning, preaching the word of God, standing for, and opening the Bible, and singing praises to him, that's right. That's right. Loving God and, man, serving him, laying aside weights in our life, man, giving God the glory, wanting to see people saved, not putting a stumbling block before somebody. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, give me a soul? God, help me to encourage some brother or sister in Christ. I want to encourage somebody before this year's out. Help me encourage somebody. Let me, man, disciple somebody just for a little while. Man, what a blessing that'd be. You want to give glory to God? You want to honor him? Now, Brother Eric has the seven pillars. He's trying to reach people. Brother Jay is going out, and Brother Joe and all the guys in the street preaching and trying to reach people. He's just trying to reach people, just trying to tell them and trying to care for people. And as a church, we're supposed to be caring one for another. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So much to more as we see the day approaching. What day is that? Jesus coming. We're supposed to exhort one another, encourage each other to go on for God. Finish the race. Lay aside any weights that's going to cause us to fall. I don't know how many times I had guys in this church, they're not here no more, but they came to me and said, preacher, I'm taking this shift job, and it's a shift work. It's real good money. I said, brother, you better pray about that. I said, because every time I've seen somebody take a shift work job, they always end up out. No, not me. No, not me. I'll be in. I'm going to be here. I'll tell you what, I'll be here. Every one of them gone. We've been trying to fight to get them back in. You know what? They won't do it. They won't come back in. Why? They're ashamed. They got too many weights. Too many weights hanging on them. They won't come back. So what is it going to take? I don't know. What is it going to take? I don't know. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Does it please God rather than man? Look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Are you risen with Christ? Are y'all risen? When we baptize people, we say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a likeness. When you got saved, you got baptized into Jesus Christ. And you're risen with him. You're a new child of God. You're supposed to be getting stronger, not weaker. Right? Amen. I figure I'll preach this message to you before I leave. In case I don't come back. You're supposed to be getting stronger, not weaker. I get on myself about it. I said, look, I'm supposed to be getting stronger. I get on myself. I get mad at myself if I'm not getting stronger. Well, if you're weightlifting all the time and you're waiting and you don't see no results, man, you'd get mad too. And you're supposed to be reading your Bible, praying, talking to God. You're supposed to be getting stronger. He says, if you didn't be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We all have the world love in us. If I stood up here and said, well, I don't love the world, I'd be a liar. There's some kind of love of the world in us. But it says you're supposed to love the Father over everything. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Let's read on down. This is a great chapter. I'm going to read the whole thing. And I can't even get to the finish the message. But look at this. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. A dead man is not supposed to have any say-so. If you're dead in Christ, Jesus Christ is supposed to be the head. For when Christ, who is our life, is he your life? You know, Bible says in James chapter 4, it says, what is your life? It's but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. What is your life? Is it Christ? If your life is Christ, you got everything. If your life is just round up in your little tiny ball of you, you're empty. He says, mortify, therefore, your members. Mortify, mortification, mortuary. Mortify, therefore, your members, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your feet. Why? This thing wants to control me. Your flesh wants to control you. You know why? That's why fasting comes in. When you fast, brother, we were talking about fasting. You know, when you fast, you're making this thing here suffer. You're saying, no, you're not getting what you want. You're not going to do what you want. I'm going to make you do what you're supposed to do. Why? This flesh does not want to do right. This flesh does not want to honor God. This flesh doesn't want to sing praises to him. This flesh doesn't want to do it. Look what the Bible says. He says, you're dead, verse 3, you're dead and your life is hidden Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscences. It says covetousness, which is idolatry. There's that idolatry, covetousness. Why do you think day in and day out on the TV, they're always showing you what you need? Always. You ride down the road, billboards, and everywhere you go, you need this. So you start coveting them things. You start saying, I got to have it. I want it. The devil's right there, man. The world's right there. The flesh is right there to get you to covet it. Look at this. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. It says, but now ye also put off all these anger. You know, last Sunday night, we took a word. I said, I got in here, I was praying about what to do, and I took a word, anger. And I said, give us a verse on anger and an experience with it. Man, we went the whole service. We could have went to two more services with anger. People are angry. Who are you angry at? What are you mad about? You ought to be mad at yourself. You ought to be mad at the devil and the world. But yeah, people are angry with their husbands, angry with their wives, angry with the children, children angry with the parents, people are angry at the church. Why are you angry? Shouldn't be. If you got the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, people say, I want to do my own thing. You ain't happy. You find people doing their own thing. You find Christians out of church this morning living the way they want to live, and they're going to say, I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. I'm going to do what I want to do, and they're not happy. Yeah. I preach funerals of people that got saved and then killed themselves. Yeah. They're not happy. Right. You sit here, you say, well, I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to live the way I want. You find out you ain't happy. So how do you know? You're always trying to find something to make you happy. Yeah. Always trying to find something. You can't be satisfied. Look here. I can lay in my bed and sit there and look up and go, "Woo, Lord, good to be saved. Thank you for this bed." He says, "Now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." When that stuff shows up, that's the old man. I don't like the old man. I don't like the old man in me. I hate him. I hate that old man. But I don't hate him enough to daily mortify. And that's not talking about being mutilating yourself. It's talking about putting yourself down. I mean, saying, "Lord, you have your way, not mine." He says, "And have put on the new man." It says, "Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You're renewed in knowledge daily, written in the Word of God. Daily, renewing your brain and getting your mind on him. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." I mean, get this mind on him. He says, "Wherefore, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Syrian, bond or free, but Christ and all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You know, people do that, like to hold on to grudges. "Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of" what? Perfectness. "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing. Nothing. Perfectness. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." To the which, I had a girl call me up the other day, yesterday, and said, "You remember me?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well," she tried to tell me who she was. I said, "I don't remember who you are. I'm working on the toilet. I'm down there working on the toilet. I'm listening to the phone." I'm going, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, you'll probably remember this. You remember the Thanksgiving I was at your house?" I said, "There are a lot of people at my house on Thanksgiving anytime." She said, "Well, when you had to come to our house when my father kicked the turkey around the backyard." I said, "Oh, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that." She asked me to pray for her. Look here. "The peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's why I asked you, anybody got a song? Anybody got a song? "Singing with grace in your heart. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." As it is fit in the Lord. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Woo! We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. It's well-pleasing. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to have no child around the house that's going to be rebellious. And guess what? God ain't going to have no child. He's going to correct him. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. For whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance." The reward of inheritance. "For ye serve the Lord Christ. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which ye have done. And there is no respect of persons." Is it right? Or is it wrong? You have God's word on what's right. There's no excuse if a child of God is reading the Bible to know what's right and what's wrong. If you're reading your Bible on a daily basis, you get in that book, you say, Lord, I need to lay aside some things that's going to cause me to hinder me to serve you. I need to not put a stumbling block before a brother and sister in Christ. I need to encourage them. We need more encouragers to go around and encourage people to do what's right. And I'm not talking about being the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about going up, blah, 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 blah. Them kind of people, I don't want nobody in my face like that. I want somebody that, hey, bro, praying for you. Love you. If I can help you anyway, let me know. And pray for them. That's why we started this prayer thing. I carried all week. I carried Jeremy and Maggie in my, and I carried them and prayed for them all week long. And so we need to pray one for another. Amen. I can't finish all this, but amen. We know what's right, right?